Before we begin, I need to ask a question. And it's not a rhetorical question, so answer aloud. Class participation is appreciated. Do you want to serve God?
Yes.
Okay. Then I can proceed. If the answer is no, then this lesson is different. I thought that would be your answer because I didn't prepare the other way. I'm glad that you said yes. I've gone through this lesson several times in my head, 3 or 4 times, and every time I give it, it's different. So hang on. Do you want to serve God? That's why we're here tonight. That's why those of you who are parents have attempted to and are currently raising your children up in the way of the Lord. In order to do something, we first have to know how to do it. So we want to serve God. Great. Now what? So we have to know how to please Him. We've seen many examples of knowing how to please God. The example that comes to mind, the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to please God, right? He had the scriptures open. He was reading. And he said, "Do you understand the things that you're reading? How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So there are many different ways that we learn. We learn through example of others. We learn through observation. Children pick up on the funniest things, things that you don't think they're paying attention to, especially very, very young children before they're able to speak. Many of the things that they learn are nonverbal. And you'll watch a child and you'll be like, "Where'd you learn how to do that?" Well, from somebody they watched. But when we're talking about knowing how to please God, we go to the scriptures, right? We learn. The churches of Christ, we pride ourselves on knowing the scriptures, as we should. We're to study to show ourselves approved. That's something we've been instructed to do, and we show up hopefully at 2 times every week and then study on our own in order that we might know the scriptures. I think sometimes we don't know it as well as we think we do, or maybe we think we know it really well, and then somebody asks us a question, and we're like, give me some time on that. Let me go study it more. So we're always learning. We're never finished learning. And if knowing the scriptures got us into heaven, we'd be okay. And maybe lots of people would be okay. But knowing the scriptures, knowing how to please God, knowing how to do something, is not enough. Knowing is the easy part. It's actually the easiest thing we can do is simply know what to do. Who knows how to lose weight? Anybody know how to lose weight? I've got some kids raising their hands. That's why I'm smiling. So it's easy, right? Eat healthy, move your body. That's it in its simplest form. Many of us would like to lose weight. That doesn't mean we execute on our knowledge. So knowing is the easy part. We know lots of things that we don't do. Believing, we're told that even the demons believe and tremble. They know it's easy if you have been exposed to God. We're exposed to God through the scriptures. Others were exposed to God through their experience with Him more directly as we read about and through His Son. But we believe and have faith in God because we read the Word and its evidences. And so the believing even really isn't the hard part. The knowing's not the hard part. The believing's not the hard part. So the believing is faith. I'm going to put these up top. I don't think I'm going to write anything underneath of them. But so there are people that we know who know what the scriptures say, but they don't have faith, so they don't do it. Okay? We know people who knew the scriptures and used to have faith who no longer do. So faith is not guaranteed. Well, I have the knowledge, so I automatically believe. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if we answer the question, yes, to do you want to serve God? So we want to serve God. So faith and belief is not the difficult part. Thursday evening, Friday, and part of Saturday morning, I was at a coaching clinic. I was going to go learn myself and about 800 coaches were there, and we were learning about how to be better coaches, to instruct our athletes better, to get them faster, bigger, stronger, jump higher, whatever the case may be. We were there to learn. Knowledge is great, but if I go back to practice and everything that I learned, I don't do anything with it, then it's of no benefit. So if we, having the knowledge, having the faith, having the belief in our God, don't act upon that, then it's of little value. So action is key. We are here. We're here in this building at most 3 hours a day. How many hours are in a week? 112 times. 144 and 6, and one more is 168. Somebody can check my math if they really want to. So 168 hours in a week. We're here three. Cut out the hours for sleeping. That's like, I should have done this ahead of time. 64 hours maybe? Well, not if you sleep a bunch. Some of you may sleep 64 hours in the week. I don't. 56. We'll say 56 hours. So 59 hours. Oh, I really should have done this one. Carry it over there in 5 and 0. And how many is that? 101? 111. 109 or 111, something like that. We've got about 110 hours to account for throughout the week. We're here three. We've made that decision. We've made that commitment to God. I've made the commitment to God. I'm going to show up 2 hours in the morning on Sunday and 1 hour a night, 3 hours a week. 110 hours-ish. Probably less. I'm guessing most of us in this room who are over the age of 18 do not sleep 8 hours a night. So 100 hours a week, 110 hours a week, where we have to act upon how we know we are to serve God. We spend a lot of time talking about knowing and learning. What we don't do, at least as a congregation, individually, but what we don't do as a congregation is act very much. Denominations are really good at acting. Sometimes they act before knowing, maybe many times, and so that leads to difficulties. It's not any better to know and not act. It's a difficult thing. We know what we should do. It's the acting. So, the question is, why don't we act? Or we do act. We go throughout our lives and we think about God and we pray about one another and we pray about those who are hurting, those who need help. We pray for each other. We pray. I think many times, we pray many times for strength. We pray to know for the right thing to do. We pray that we may be a better husband, father, mother, sibling, across the board. So we spend time in prayer, and prayer is definitely an action. But sometimes we don't act, so we're going to talk about why maybe we don't act. Because action is key, right? Faith without works is dead. We know that. Reasons we may not act is we're uncertain of ourselves. I said I wasn't going to write anything on the board. I'm going to stay to that. I like facing you better. We may be uncertain of what to do, okay? Well, we know we need to love. Love is paramount. You can turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. We'll read a little bit about love in just a few moments. We need to love one another. Love looks like a lot of different things as we go out throughout our week. We know that we need to preach and teach that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for us. We need to preach the scriptures. That's a harder thing to do. Sometimes I feel like we think, I don't know enough to do what I'm supposed to do. That's not true. How do you lose weight? Eat healthier. Move your body more. It's as simple as that. Now, sometimes I feel like as when we're talking about scriptures and with nutrition as well, or losing weight, we think it's this really complicated thing, and I gotta fast for these amount of hours, and I gotta count my macros to make sure I got the right amount of calories. And well, I did 47 minutes of light walking to steady walking, which means I burned 713 calories, and we make it more complicated than it needs to be. Eat healthy food, move your body. Understand the scriptures, love people. Love people looks like different. I'm going to show love toward my students in different ways that I show love to you. I'm going to show love to my sister in different ways that I show love to my parents. We show love in different ways. If we can approach every day with how can I or will I choose to love everyone today, then I think actions happen. I think it happens more, it will happen authentically, and if we're loving them like God wants us to love them, then it takes care of itself. 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter in verse 12 says, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we did to you." Okay, so we know we're supposed to love one another. Love is powerful. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, I mentioned we would go there. And beginning in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked to evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This isn't some adolescent puppy, oh, I'm in love with them love. This is godly love. This is the love that they're talking about in 1 Thessalonians, that may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another, just as we did to you. It's godly love, but we have to act on it. Sometimes when we act on love, we don't do it the right way. I can love you, and because I love you, I can act in a way in which is detrimental to our relationship. It came from a place of love, but it hurt our relationship. And so I think another thing that causes us not to act is because of just that. We know people who are here and who are not here in our lives that we know we need to have a conversation with. For all of us, it's probably ourselves. We need to have a conversation with ourselves on the things that we need to change in our own lives, but then also other people. I'm not saying to love people, we need to point out their flaws. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is sometimes when we act because of love, relationships are damaged. We don't need to let that impede us from doing what we know we should do. But then we also have to recover from that. I happened to hear a lot of really good speakers at the coaching clinic, but one was talking about, do you know the number one indicator of children who will walk first? You would think, well, the older they are has nothing to do with age. The best indicator for which child walks first is which one tries to walk first, which one fails the most. Okay? Stand up, fall down. Stand up, fall down. Stand up, fall down. A lot of kids stand up, fall down. No more of that. They don't walk as soon. So it's the kids who fail and fail and fail by not walking and not walking and gain that strength. So we're going to fail. We know that. All of sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we know we're going to fail. It's not a fine line, but I think it's important to make a distinction. What we should not do is say, well, it doesn't matter how I act because I know I can recover and I can repair the relationship. But if we're acting out of love, and as we're acting out of love, something, a relationship is damaged, or something doesn't go right, or I had a misunderstanding of what I was supposed to do and I sin, you can recover from that. Christ will, or God will forgive you because of Christ's sacrifice. What it won't be okay is if we know what we're supposed to do and we fail to act because we're afraid we're going to fail. We can't be afraid to fail. If we're afraid to fail, then we are. We have to act on the knowledge that we have. Don't think, I don't know enough. Don't think, that person will never listen. God didn't say make them listen. God didn't say only love those who will love you back. As we were singing Green Hill, the last verse really stuck out to me. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood, and try his works to do. Okay, try his works to do. That doesn't mean, oh, I thought about doing it and I didn't. That's not trying. Trying is attempting to act and then the outcome not being what we wanted it to be. My challenge to us is we spend a lot of time here knowing what to do. We have some thoroughly educated and wise men and women here in this congregation, and I'm thankful to be here. What I'm going to challenge us to do is to act more on an individual basis in our daily lives to people. Some of you encounter, I don't know, 12 people a day, and then others may encounter 1,200 people a day. So I understand loving everyone is different to all of us. But I encourage you to act in love to each individual that you encounter throughout your week. I ask that we also challenge ourselves to act as a congregation, as the scriptures have dictated to us. One reason we're really good at knowing what to do is because it tells us exactly what we're supposed to know, right? We are supposed to know everything in here. What I think another reason why it's difficult to act is because it doesn't tell us exactly for Oak Grove Church of Christ in St. James, Missouri, how that applies to our community. It does tell us exactly what we're supposed to know, black and white. We're good at black and white. We like black and white. It's clear. I do too. I don't like gray area. It's tough. I don't know what to do when it's gray area. I've got to make a decision, and then that decision could be wrong. And that's why we don't act. So let's act out of love. Let's be uplifting toward one another, toward this community, toward whatever community, whether small or large, you're a part of. And if we can help you learn to love, let us know as we stand and sing the song of invitation.